confusion, but this is a relatively straightforward process, and I think the commissioner did such a thorough job introducing this topic. I actually have very little to say about the process and the projects, other than to say we really want to thank our advisory committees, Freight, Bike, and Ped, as well as the extremely involved neighborhood associations that helped us prioritize these projects. I think it's been a good process so far, and out of the 17 priority projects we advanced through both the state and metro region, we're about to get 16 of those funded, so we feel really good about our ability to work with these projects. Mark's going to give a quick overview of each project, and then at the end of that, I think we have a few people looking to testify.
Mark Glear, I manage the project and funding group in Active Transportation, and I'm just going to give a quick highlight of a couple of the projects that we've submitted. The first project that I'm really proud of for the community and our agency and the city is that East Portland Access to Employment and Education Multimodal Project. Hopefully everybody knows there's something amazing that's been going on in East Portland as far as the organization and the identification of critical transportation safety improvements. And over the last, we had a year-long process to develop the East Portland in Motion strategy. It's something like I haven't seen before in the city, where we went out to warming shelters and different community groups and really talked about what the needs were in East Portland. And a lot of what we heard was really good access to transit and building a system that can get people safely and families, you know, to where they need to go. The number of crashes that we have in East Portland is, you know, different than the rest of the city, and it's been great to see everybody come together across the city and support this effort, all neighborhoods. The $8.3 million without the match includes $3 million for sidewalks, $1.5 million on Powell, $1.5 million for sidewalk improvements on other priorities identified in the plan, $1.5 million for neighborhood greenways, which include the hundreds and the 150s, and then $2 million for safe access to transit. Opal's done great work out there. We really want to use this funding to help with those efforts. As Mayor Hale knows in great detail, we put a Barber Boulevard plan together a decade ago, and we just haven't really had the funding to invest in it. This grant will allow us to make significant crossing improvements in the 22nd area and 26th area on Barber, add bike lanes, and really, you know, begin to implement that plan. Another project that a lot of work has gone into, I think, is really positive, is the Central City Multimodal Safety Improvements Project. Our central city, including a little bit on the east side and the west side, includes 14 of our highest top 20 crashes for people riding bikes, and six of our top 20 high crash intersections. And downtown's done an amazing job over the years of integrating pedestrians and transit, but we haven't really done that for people riding bicycles. Although the growth of people riding bicycles has been really significant. The Portland Business Alliance identified in their own survey in 2001, 3% of employees working in the downtown coming by bicycle. The last survey that they put together was over 11%. And, you know, that's great, but we still hear a lot from people that, you know, I'm afraid to drive downtown because of the conflict with bikes, pedestrians, cars, transit. Or I'm afraid to ride downtown because of those same concerns. The upshot is we need to do some significant planning between the city and the downtown community, business community, to make sure that we have a strategy, a network that we're going to implement. So this plan provides funding for developing that plan and then providing significant safety improvements, really building that network. It also provides $500,000 for planning work associated with the waterfront trail to the south of the Ross Island Bridge. The two freight projects are identified or requesting funds for. One is the South Rivergate Freight Project. Right now, this is the largest industrial area in the city, and it's not, and it currently has significant capacity issues based on the length of trains that are coming in to the site. So this funding would allow us to do street planning work and signal modernization work to really address that problem in a way that ensures that this area continue to function the way that we want it to as an economic engine for the city. Again, as Commissioner Novick was mentioning, the East Portland in Motion project, this implementation strategy has really worked well in East Portland, and Southwest Portland has those same challenges. Over half the arterials, busy streets, lack sidewalks. This project would allow us to do that same kind of a project and really stretch those dollars and identify the most needed improvements in Southwest Portland.
Mark, can I interrupt you for a second? Politicians often playfully say, if you're having a hard time getting to sleep, read such and such government report. When it comes to the East Portland in Motion report that was issued last year, I would say, if you're having a hard time staying awake, read that report, because it's just a phenomenal example of the community and people at PBOT coming together, developing a list of important projects, a list of criteria to prioritize those projects. It's spectacular, and it would be great if Southwest had the same kind of tool.
I agree. So just two more projects to summarize. The first one is the Foster Road project. I think this is actually a really good example of another good community process. We were in a position to make improvements on Foster, had some PDC funding and some other grant funding available. But at the same time, you know, people were dying, multiple people per year on Foster. And I think the community, the city, did a gut check and said, you know, with the money that we have with that project that we already sort of have on the books, is it going to result in a community, in a safe situation? And the upshot was people wanted more. And so we've been recently facilitating a process with the community. It's not done yet, to figure out how we can better accommodate pedestrians, bicycles in this important corridor. And this funding would allow us, as two options right now, depending on how that public process plays out, but to follow through with investments that we have a much higher level of assurance are actually going to make a big difference. And the last project is a ITS, Intelligent Transportation System project. Even though in our plans, we say that we're going to use ITS, the coordination of signals and cameras that can help coordinate that throughout the city on our busiest streets. We haven't done that yet for this crucial link between the city and Swan Island. So this project would allow us to actually do that work, and we'll have significant improvements to access. Thanks.
Questions? Please.
Yeah. I don't know whether this is to staff or to the commissioner in charge, but I wanted to ask about the proposal to fund the Sullivan's Gulch undercrossing at I-205. And there's some history that predates the current transportation commissioner, and it had to do with some the bike share deal and some discussions we had one or two cycles ago. But what's at issue is connecting Gateway Green, which is something the Transportation Commissioner and I care deeply about, with Sullivan's Gulch. And there was the thought that we could use some of these dollars to do the I-205 piece to make that connectivity and then later seek to crack open the riddle of how we work the railroads on Sullivan's Gulch. So my question is why it didn't make the cut, and if we continue to have a commitment to fund opportunistically those pieces in the future, which are, I think, vital to connecting East Portland with our active transportation network.
Yep. Commissioner, I'll give a brief answer, and then Dan will elaborate. The Sullivan's Gulch project did not meet the criteria that Metro established for regional flexible funds allocation, so we put it into the STIP process, and it was in our initial proposal for STIP, and it sort of lost the battle with other projects within the context of STIP. I mean, so it is a priority, but we needed to, we couldn't get all that we asked for in the STIP process. Dan, do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, just on a pure technical merit, the Regional Flexible Funds has a $3 million project minimum. The Sullivan's Gulch Trail project, I believe, was around 1.2. So when we looked at that project and we looked at the amount of partnership with ODOT.
Always inflate the budget. If that would be helpful, but overhead.
I considered it.
Strike that.
But when we look at the partnership required with that, with ODOT, we actually thought it would be very competitive in the ODOT STIP process. Unfortunately, it made it to the 150% list, but really came up against other trail projects, including other parks priorities projects like the NP Greenway. So we had a lot of different trail projects competing for money. And I think if we had done a better job as a city coordinating our priorities, we would get more of our priority projects funded.
So I'm only speaking for myself. The new Parks Commissioner is going to have her view. I just got an email today from the Transportation Commissioner asking me to contribute to Gateway Green. So the point I just want to make is we've been briefed on these recommendations. My staff has, and we appreciate the care and thought that went into them, and I intend to support them. But I want to make sure that this commitment that we made previously doesn't fall off the radar. And I think, in particular, since we have at the grassroots level, citizens raising private dollars to develop the vision of Gateway Green. I want to make sure that we are good partners in following through on what we can do to connect Gateway Green to the active transportation network. And it is a key priority of the Gateway community, which often feels neglected. So I just want to make sure that it's still in the pipeline.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that actually I should have elaborated on what we did get in the STIP process. Transportation Improvement Program. And we did get a major investment in St. John's to alleviate the conflict between trucks and pedestrians. We did get a major investment in the Cully neighborhood. It was actually a TriMet proposal, but we got access to transit improvements along Powell and Division. So we got a lot of good stuff in the STIP. Unfortunately, we did not get the Sullivan's Gulch Trail.
I applaud those. And also, given the news, recent news of Daimler, we're going to have an even more robust partner to finish the hardest parts of the North Portland Greenway, which, like all of these things, involve railroads and difficult decisions. But I like the proposal, Commissioner, and just want to make sure we don't this doesn't slide off the radar in the future, because we'd love to see what we think we can do is opportunistically do pieces. And sort of like what we're doing in South Waterfront with the Greenway, where there's money doing a piece. It's not connected yet, but this helps our friends in Gateway Green advance a very compelling vision. I just hope we can continue to look for a pot of money to make some progress.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I got a question. This is mainly to catch me up, because I'm not sure if I heard the outcome, but does the Rivergate Lombard ITS project complement the project that was applied for in terms of a truck overcrossing that was applied for Tiger funds? Are they the same project?
They were meant to be complementary, building on each other.
So we're still awaiting word?
We heard the no.
We didn't get it. Okay.
We're waiting them to change their mind. not get the Tiger Award.
Okay.
So this was meant to be in addition to that, but it's still, as a standalone project, has quite a bit of value.
All right. Try again on Tiger. Often it takes more than one attempt. Other questions?
So I understand that this is about $22 million and our match is about $2.6 million. Of these projects, which ones are the whole project, and then which ones are just a part of a project that we're looking at future funding for?
That's a good question. The Foster Road Safety Project is combined with the previous regional flexible funds allocation. So that's a combined total cost of, let me do some math, about $5.25 million.
So will it be done after this?
That's the plan, yeah.
Okay.
The Barber demonstration project could be combined with another STIP award. There was a STIP award for Barber around $3 or $4 million. Likely going to combine those as one award to coordinate the work.
But I know there's a lot more projects on Barber. So
oh yeah,
that's
we can go on for that
one.
Right? Southwest in Motion is a strategy, so right. There will need to be funding to implement the strategy.
And that strategy will get done with this money, just like the East Portland in Motion.
This is going to fund the planning work. Of
and
the
it'll come to council as a result.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Keep going.
The others are all complete, yeah. I would say the Central City one probably is going to have a longer list of projects, and we're going to fund as much as we can. But we'll come back for future asks on that.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other ones?
They're complete.
The other on the others on the list, they're all done? They will be done?
Full. Is it ITS project? You got enough money for that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. The Swan Island. I was asking about the Swan Island ITS. So, yes.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions? All right. Thank you both. I think we have some testimony lined up.
Yes, we have 9 people signed up. The first 3, please come on up, are Mark Hoffhines, Joseph Gordon, and Martha Ruskowski.
Come on up. Good morning. Go ahead.
All right.
Just put your name into the record.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. My name is Mark J. Hoffhines, Jr. I think it's great that they're doing something to actually help people and so forth, and that you guys are actually committing to helping people sort of sustain their lives. And I just want to commend you guys on that. But I also, you know, I want to come in and kind of implement something into with it. I actually, you know, has to pertain with the money's issue. Because I mean,
stay focused on this issue,
and it is with the issue. Because I mean, it is also with sustaining lives, and that's with and sidewalks, etc., as well. I'm Mark J. Hoffhines Jr. Come before the council under the name of You Care. United Coalition Against Repression for Equality, escaping the negative stigma portrayed upon Occupy Portland. This being said, I ask, do you care? Which obviously you guys are starting to care. You guys are doing things. It's great. We spend a lot of time dealing with subjects other than meeting your 10-year plan to end homelessness. Instead of you constantly appropriating monies and time to a multitude of subjects, avoiding the true issue at hand, even as a national scope, where is the committee, or where is this committee? I was asked to start with you to address the subject as well, which, you know, we can deal with some other things as far as appropriating, trying to get figured out with housing, etc. I have competent and religious-based community members at the ready, many angry at you, or angry that you are directing the police to harass those who are in the spotlight, in your spotlight, instead of actual criminalistic offenders who qualify as true lawless homelessness. Instead of spending money to wage a political war on the homeless and spend the citizens' taxes on those choice,
I need to interrupt you for just a choice, second.
But to find the way to sustain their own life.
I won't take your time, but you need to know that these are transportation funds. By state law, we can only spend these monies on transportation.
I just want to state this for the record, sir. That's all.
Okay, go ahead.
For those who have no choice but to find a way to sustain their own life by doing the basic actions any citizens or politician would do to live day by day, night by night, in order not to suffer and or die. I, as a citizen and created homeless by the system, I am a constant witness to the travesties caused when the public eye is nowhere to be found and have zero access to the media or political officials. Actions directed by you, Charlie Hales, and the city attorney to the Chief Reese and the police, park rangers. As Moses said, let my people go, and as an American, I say, let them be free and equal. No more administrative punishment. Help, not harm. Resolutions, not institutions. And life, not death. Thank you.
Good morning.
Martha, I just want to say it's an honor and a delightful coincidence to have a national expert on bicycle transportation here today. So thank you for coming.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Martha Ryskowski. I live in Boulder, Colorado. I work for the Bikes Belong Foundation. I run the Green Lane Project, which is an effort to help build better bike lanes across the country. As you know, bicycling is really booming across the country, bike share systems and more people getting on bikes. I'm here to encourage you to fund the Central City Multimodal Safety Project because it sounds like a really strategic investment of funds. Green Lane Project has been working with 6 cities across the country for the last 2 years to help them get innovative bike projects on the ground. Portland, San Francisco, Austin, Memphis, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. We're here in Portland because we pulled in the top staff people from each of those cities who are really the leads in building these innovative designs for a debrief of what we've learned over the last 2 years and looking forward of, where are U.S. cities going in terms of really rethinking how their streets work for people on foot, people in buses, people in cars, people on bikes. We went on a tour. The PBOT team took us out on a tour yesterday around downtown, so we had a chance to look at your challenges and your opportunities in terms of people being able to walk and bike safely. You have a really neat downtown. There is room for improvement, as you well know. A lot of our cities are doing quite a bit in their downtowns. Chicago, D.C., Austin, San Francisco have all completed projects recently that have actually taken travel lanes or taken parking to create protected bike lanes, better places for people of all types to ride bikes. They are doing it for safety reasons. They're doing it to reduce healthcare costs long term. They're doing it for mobility. Bikes do not replace cars, but for short trips, they can be a good addition to your transportation system and relieve congestion. They are doing it to build more resilient communities that when disasters hit, like in Boulder, bikes offer really good short-term personal mobility. People can get home when cars, you know, when drivers can't. More importantly, the big thing that's driving a lot of the cities is economic development. They are building these to attract top young people, which brings high-tech companies that want to hire them. So it's an economic development strategy for a lot of people. And finally, they're doing it to better order the streets. Surveys are showing that drivers like these protected lanes because they make bicyclists more predictable. Pedestrians like them because they get bicyclists off the sidewalk. Some bicyclists don't like them because they force bicyclists to be more orderly and in some cases drive slower. Bike more slowly. So it's a win-win across the board for people in terms of making your streets work better. So I think this is a really cool project, and I encourage you to fund it. And thank you for hosting us here in Portland. It's been really neat.
Great. Thanks. Thanks thank for being you. A resource for us. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Joseph Gordon, a.k.a. Tequila, and I will get on the point before I want to thank the city for allowing Josh, who voluntarily to walk with me and my lover. We've been complaining about finding housing and we have an income, and I'm glad that he voluntarily went with us, how a day is with us, trying to find an apartment. And as I would just say, like a few hours into our adventure, would you say? He made a comment of, I don't see how you guys are not frustrated. You know, this will go into transportation. Just to let you know, I want to thank the city so much for now finally getting in touch and you know adventuring out to see how it is and where you know where the corruption is coming from. And the problems that's really facing the city with, you know, what is lacking of us. And there is no resource. Now you know the truth that we've been complaining for so long that there is, for people like me and Joel, it is not as easy as you have the money so you can find an apartment. And I see that that I know that you now know that money has been mismanaged and misplaced, put in different things. And I just hope it was an eye-opener for the whole city hall to know and now realize that housing is not as simple as it made out to be. I'm pretty sure Josh referred, so I won't go into that. I just want to thank you for that. And also, but if it wasn't for TriMet, we wouldn't have made it to a lot of the places, you know. So expanding and all that, so I'm for the expansion of TriMet and stuff, because if it wasn't for TriMet on this ordeal, we wouldn't have been able to go to the places that we did, even though it's futile missions. You know, and also I'm asking as well, I'm pretty sure Josh probably will tell you that it did need a city ordinance on people that has rent outside of their places and it ain't no vacancies or anything, and somehow these monopolies that's going on putting rent for rent signs all in front of their buildings on one street, and there's nothing for rent. You know, I'm pretty sure you're going to be working with Join and all this kind of stuff to embed the system now that you know it's flawed. And also, as well, I will also say for TriMet, if you want to get some money, I did advise for Josh about the, it's when you can just walk into TriMet, I know this is going off, but when you can just walk into TriMet and pretty much, can I get an honor citizen card, and they give it to you without whatever, that's where your taxpayers' money is going. So, I mean, when you can just walk in there and get one. So I pretty much advise you that you could save a lot of money through tax revenues from clearing that era, because you can just walk in there and just say, I need an honor citizen card. So just letting you know that, just whatever. I know I'm going to be, you know, shot in the neighborhood now.
No, I hope not.
Yeah, no. But I really want to thank the city for it. They finally stepped down and walked with the homeless for a day. So just want to let you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Okay. Who's next? The next three are Joe Walsh, Jarek Kransky, and Michelle Poyero.
I think Mr. Walsh is out of the room, but Michelle
we'll
and
take Roger Gertenrich then. So Jarek, Michelle, and Roger.
Good morning. You're on first, Garrett.
Great. Mayor Hales, members of the commission, my name is Garrick Kransky. I'm the advocacy director with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of this resolution today. We're encouraging you all to vote yes for this great slate of projects at the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. We've been working pretty hard with business and community leaders to build support for safe bicycling facilities all across the city. We see those rolling out with this slate of priorities. We were also very involved in the policy conversation around ensuring that 75% of available regional flexible funds are dedicated to the active transportation and complete streets projects. So, and we're very happy to have been involved in that conversation as well as this one. And among the projects under consideration today, I'd like to specifically mention our support for the Central City multimodal safety improvements, and for two primary reasons, safety and economic development. Portland Central Business District has the highest daily bike ridership anywhere in the city, and that's part of the reason that the BTA has prioritized improvements in the Central City in our regional world-class bicycling document, basically a slate of 16 projects that we would like to see funded all across the Portland metro region. And on page 6 of the handout that I just shared with you, you'll see our description of the conditions in downtown. We see this project as a key benefit for improving those conditions. And that's on the safety side. We'd really like to see those improvements in place. On the economic development side, we've been having conversations with our partners downtown and getting a feel for what their customers, clients, employees are having in terms of an experience as they ride their bikes. And I've got a couple interesting quotes I'd like to share with you from some folks we've been talking to. The first is from Dennis Allen, who is the Director of Planning and Development at Sidell Yards. And his quote in support of bicycling in general in downtown is, "Everyone knows how important bicycling is to Portlanders and that this trend is only going to grow. The South Waterfront, with its recently reconstructed Moody Avenue, forthcoming Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Bridge, riverfront bikeways, and great connections to the Central Business District, is one of the best areas in the city for cycling. Therefore, it's important for us to facilitate safe access and storage solutions for our tenants and visitors." That's just one of the folks that we've been talking with over the last couple months, building support and understanding for this. And I think as the process goes forward, we're going to find more and more excitement among the business community and people who live and work downtown if they can get into downtown safely on a bike. So I encourage you to vote yes. Thank you for your time.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
You began by talking about how we can create safer opportunities for cyclists on roads. So, and there's pictures in the brochure you gave us of what, let's say, Northeast Broadway would look like with a dedicated lane and a buffer.
You bet.
And that makes a lot of sense to me. But you also have a fantastic picture in here of what North Portland Greenway could look like.
Am I reading with
you? And how it could coexist with the rail, which I think is pretty exciting. But that raises another question, because one of the byproducts of the success we have with these kinds of projects is more user conflicts between pedestrians and cyclists. And we're hearing that specifically in Tom McCall Waterfront Park and other places where you have a lot of volume and not a lot of space. My understanding is in South Waterfront, in the Greenway, we're going to address it by having separated trails. So there'll be a trail for bike and for pedestrian. But where we get feedback is particularly from older people that use these to walk, and they've got bikes careening by. So does the BTA have a position on how we should be thinking about safety on the greenways as well in terms of pedestrians and bikes?
I wouldn't say a position, but we definitely would defer to the transportation professionals who are realizing that we've become victims of our own success, frankly. It used to be the gold standard that a multi-use path, 10 to 14 feet in width, was anticipated to be perfectly sufficient for all the pedestrian and bicycle traffic. We're finding that that's just not the case. So that's why we've got the big dinner plate size markings on the Hawthorne Bridge to delineate where the pedestrian space is and where the bicycle space is. I think that's sort of a 1.0 answer to the question in the future. That's part of the reason we're looking at physically separated cycle tracks in our central business district as one of the solutions that will provide dedicated space for bikes that is separate and distinct from automobiles, separate and distinct from pedestrians, to help address some of those conflicts.
Thanks, Gary. Morning, Michelle.
Good morning. My name is Michelle Poyero, and I have been in front of you a couple times in the past because I used to work with Garrick at the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. But I am now working as a transit planner. I'm actually going to be working out of an office in Southeast Portland, very close to Foster Road, and the 50s bikeway that you approved some time ago. I'm very excited about that. I'd like to comment on the list of projects in front of you. I think it is a very good list of projects. I'm so excited that the city is making this kind of investment. There are two in particular I'm excited about. One is Foster Road. Again, I'll have a personal connection to that one. But I also want to point out that sometimes you may hear from people, why would people want to bike on Foster Road? We oughtn't have bikes on a main street. It's too busy. They should be on the side streets. And I think in this city we have done a great job of making some neighborhood greenways on side streets where people can walk and bike, and it really feels like a safe, quiet space. But there is a limit to what you can do with neighborhood greenways, because in the end, people go to the busy streets because that's where all the stuff is. That's where the businesses are that they need to shop at. That's where the jobs are that they're commuting to. The schools are sometimes. And also, that's where the people are. And in the case of Foster Road, it's a diagonal, and there is no such thing as a parallel route. If you remember your high school trigonometry, the hypotenuse of a triangle is quite a bit shorter than the two legs of the triangle. So I think Foster Road, I know it's a complex project, but I'm so excited to see it moving forward and funded, assuming that you vote in favor of this. And then the second part of this project that I'm excited about is downtown. So I've been biking downtown for probably 13 years, and I noticed recently that right around 6 o'clock, my boyfriend some days will call me and say, hey, let's go to a movie. And sometimes he'll say, oh, that movie you really want to see is playing at Living Room Theaters at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Let's go down there. And I say no. And finally he said, what's your problem with Living Room Theaters? And I love Living Room Theaters. And I finally realized, I come downtown for meetings during the day, but I no longer really want to come down here at night. I'm willing to bike in mixed traffic. I'm one of those hardy bicyclists who will bike in mixed traffic. But as I get older, I don't really want to be sharing all that space with cars that are moving kind of fast. And there are a lot of people like me out there who aren't biking at all yet. So I'm excited to see downtown grow and become more active, denser, have more economic activity down here. But to accommodate that, I think we're going to have to get people here in smaller vehicles, and bikes are a great smaller vehicle. So again, I think it's a good list of projects, and I hope that you all support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Roger, good morning.
Yeah, my name is Roger Gertenrich, and I'm here to support the funding for the planning and ultimate construction of the greenway between the Markham Bridge and the Spaghetti Factory. That section will open the door to bikes and pedestrians from the entire South Portland neighborhood to the downtown area. And it also will be enhanced when the two bridges come online, the Selwood Bridge and what I would call the OMSI Bridge, that will come right down into the northern section of this greenway. And regarding that northern section, I have a little bonus to add and to give you a heads up. Before the year is out, there's a group of us citizens that are going to bring a grassroots, bottom-up project to you for your consideration, and particularly to Commissioner Fritz, because you are now the head of Park and Rec. And what that will be is an outdoor maritime display to hopefully go in the section of the greenway between the Zidels and the Markham Bridge. It would be free to the public, and all of the maritime items would be donated with their historical markers. The Willamette River is a pride and joy of the people of Oregon. They really treasure the historical maritime history of it, but we're kind of losing it. So the river is the heartbeat of the city, and you want to keep the vitality of the city alive and keep that heartbeat going. That particular section will help do that, and I think you'll find, when you understand more about the outdoor maritime display, that you'll find the people, they don't like it, they love it, and it'll be an asset to that particular section of the Greenway. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Questions? Thank you all. And we have some more folks signed
up. Yes, the next three are Amanda Lee Harrison, David Hampston, and Joel Siebers.
Good morning, David.
Hey, how are you?
Go ahead.
So my name is David Hampston. I'm the transportation chair for the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association in East Portland. I'm also with East Portland Action Plan. I'm here to support most of these projects. I'm not going to criticize any one of them. One thing that we really support in East Portland is getting projects in areas that lack transportation infrastructure, not just in East Portland, but even in North Portland and Southwest Portland and in Cooley. And so I welcome many of the STIP projects that were approved last week. And we especially support the SWIM project, the Southwest in Motion, as being a very good step forward for Southwest, which really does lack a lot of sidewalks. I sympathize on the Sullivan's Gulch Trail, and that is something that's supported in the East Portland Action Plan, and we hope that eventually that does get funded. But I'm here mostly to talk about East Portland's and the transportation issues we have and to support the Employment Opportunity Flex Funds projects. East Portland is an area that in large part does lack basic infrastructure. Basically, to live in East Portland, you have to drive everywhere because there are no sidewalks, there are no bikeways. And so as people age, of course, as just mentioned about downtown, it becomes a bigger and bigger issue that you have trouble crossing 5 to 7 lanes on, say, Division or Halsey or Gleason, which is in East Portland, or on 122nd, where you have traffic going very fast. And so these projects that are in this $8 to $9 million package help quite a bit with that. For instance, there's a bikeway on the 150s. It's hard to think that Portland goes out that far, but in fact, it actually goes up to the 170s. On the 150s route, it connects the poorest neighborhood in the entire city, the Glenfair neighborhood, over on the light rail near Rockwood, to the Springwater Trail, going through the Centennial neighborhood and Pleasant Valley neighborhood. A very strategic link that it connects to many schools. It also allows people who are living in Glenfair who want to commute by bike to get onto the Springwater and head straight into Milwaukee or downtown. And so many of the other projects, such as the $3 million towards Powell Boulevard, again, will help make the pedestrian way throughout East Portland much better and help the city on the long term develop those areas, because roughly 40% of the new growth in the next 20 years will be in East Portland, just because that's the cheapest lands and the cheapest rent. So thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Thanks.
My name is Joel Siebers. I thank you guys for letting Josh walk with me and Joseph 2 days ago. And we're also invited to something October 4th, which we heard about, which, yeah, we'll totally do that. Maybe we'll talk about that here later. also, yeah, there are apartment complexes that do say for rent when there are no vacancies.
Joel, just talk about the transportation stuff.
Oh, transportation, okay. I'm totally up for it. I know it's expensive. I know IT also needs to expand with Windows 7 and Windows 8 about to come out in a few years. I also believe in that because my dad worked IT, and he said we need the technology. Transportation for MAX and streetcar expansion, that would be great. And that would be good. Even up behind, across the river where Bike and Hike is, where the St. Francis, lays that's about to be demolished. There needs to be, hopefully something goes in there. Low-income apartments as well, and hopefully when TriMet and stuff does expand, hopefully rent for places will stay low. Not high, but low. The bigger you build the building, the higher you have to pay for rent. Hopefully you can keep building small and minimized and also look nice. I'm totally game for that. That's all I have to say.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thanks.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
We have two more, Crystal Ilinski and Charles Johnson.
Come on up.
Okay.
Go ahead, Crystal.
Hello again. It looks like everything is resonating with me today, so I'll see you for these agenda items. I wanted to just share with you a vision that I've had for a long time regarding transportation and having a livable city. And also a quick anecdote that luckily my boyfriend won't hear about because he doesn't watch things like this, but it's to share with you a disturbing trend. But first of all, I'd like to thank or commend Commissioner Novick for taking the reins on this, and the way he's describing it makes me feel like it's in good hands in comparison to Adam's wishy-washy greenwash thing and Hill's stubbornness. And I understand, like, out in the East, there was a representative, Shania, what's her name? She had to get the money to, yes, Fagan. So, at any rate, I'm just impressed that we're going to concentrate on this because I think that the European center, city center, is always the way to go, and I would love to see us have a car-free center. It would be wonderful. Car-free. Yeah, totally. So, but any, yeah. It's funny, when my parents came out to visit me out in Eastern Europe, my mom is insisting on staying on the outside of the arterials and the big rings to get services and look at things. I'm like, no, we got to go to the center, and it involves walking. But it would also help to make this a center where people want to come to, and we need to consider the diversity of the businesses and subsidized housing. We really need to put that first and foremost, along with considering the infrastructure of, like, the east side growing. Because we are growing so fast, it blows my mind. But I guess about the anecdote that's disturbing. I heard on KOPB, I'm embarrassed to say I listen to Think Out Loud sometimes, but they were talking about the tech companies wanting to come downtown because it was so cool. And I was like, oh, no. And I told it to my boyfriend, and he said, I kid you not, he said that his company was considering doing that. And I was like, no, the downtown should be as diverse as possible. People come together, all sorts. And when you're a tech company and you're sitting in your little office, that's why, like, in the 70s, real quick, I'm almost done. In the 70s, they had they didn't have corporate parks. They had corporate things in the industrial areas. And then the 80s, it became corporate parks. And now the corporate parks are trying to move more into the city. We've really got to consider that as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Crystal. Again, Charles Johnson for the record. Whether we're talking about these six projects or the one special different funding thing, anything that we're looking at in the core area of the city where we have the predominance of a problem phenomenon, the one-way street, I think the funding either in each individual project or overall needs to look at something we can call citizen satisfaction instead of traffic enforcement. I don't like law enforcement or traffic enforcement as a phrase, but as Commissioner Fritz and probably all of us are well aware, people go the wrong way down the sidewalks. We do have lazy bicyclists.
Wait a minute. They're not supposed to be on the sidewalks at all if there are bicyclists downtown.
I can almost tolerate it when they go the correct direction, but we don't really seem to have any investment from the city to improve citizen behavior here. So I think that some of these projects, or in a combination of PBOT and PPB financing, we need to look at one of the ways to make downtown more welcoming is to be able to walk on a one-way street and not have a bicycle coming at you. And that may be something in future projects. We don't have to put in these six and then the one special funding, but I hope all the commissioners will think about the next time they have that incident about are any city resources being expended to make the majority of the Portland population happier and more comfortable walking around downtown Portland without coming face to face with a selfish cyclist on the sidewalk. Thank you.
Or car.
Does anybody else want to testify on this?
That's all who signed up.
Thank you. Does anybody have further questions for staff? Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you for a very thorough report, and I'm really excited about the some $22 million that will be invested in green economy freight, in regional economic opportunities, and in active motion. And very excited about the Southwest in motion study that will begin and will no doubt present us with funding opportunities as the East Portland in Motion study did. So this is a great allocation, I think, of the federal money and our match, and I think it's going to result in dramatic on-the-ground improvements in a more balanced transportation system, and most important is safety for motorists, pedestrians, and bicyclists, increased safety. Thank you. Aye.
Novick.
I'd like to start by thanking the members of the Portland Freight, Pedestrian, Bicycle, and Safety Committees for their outstanding work in helping identify these important projects and the work of the neighborhood associations and business associations and of Dan and Mark and all the PBOT staff who put a lot of sweat into these efforts identifying these projects. I want to talk a little bit about the significance of the active transportation investments as economic investments. I think it's sort of obvious to everybody that the freight improvements are connected to economic development, but the investments in making it easier for people to walk and bike and take transit are also economic investments. I mean, they're safety investments, which is really important, and they're livability investments, make it possible for people to pleasantly get around the neighborhoods, but they also are investments in prosperity in several ways. One of which is when you make it possible for people to walk and bike and take transit, it saves them money because driving cars is expensive. Last year, people and businesses and governments in Portland spent over $240 million on car repair and maintenance. And if you don't have to use your car as much, then you don't wind up spending as much on repair and maintenance. People in governments, businesses in Portland spent over $600 million last year on gas. If you could spend more of your time biking and walking and taking transit, you don't have to spend as much money on gas. I mean, there's a couple of ways to improve your family's economic position. One is to make more money, and another is to reduce your expenses. And the active transportation investments make it possible to reduce their expenses. And these investments are also investments in business prosperity, because we live in a country where most healthcare costs, or a big chunk of them, are borne by businesses paying for health insurance for their employees. And health insurance pools are big pools where the health of everybody affects the bottom line for everybody. And when you make it possible for people to walk and bike and take transit, then they're healthier and everybody's health insurance premiums go down. And I think actually it's important to I think it's obvious to people that when people bike, they're healthier. They're also healthier when they have access to transit, because the simple act of walking to or from a transit station means you're walking. In Charlotte, North Carolina, a few years ago, they were putting in a light rail line, and somebody got the bright idea of weighing people who were consented to do this, who lived along the light rail line, before and after it was put in. And they weighed a bunch of people before the line was put in, and then they went back and they weighed people along the line who had started using light rail on a regular basis. And in the course of 6 months, they lost an average of 6 pounds. That's good for them, for their quality of life, but it also means that people in Charlotte, I think, were paying lower healthcare premiums than they otherwise would. So I'm very proud to be bringing these projects to council and hope we'll have the support of council, bring them to Metro and JPACT. And I just couldn't miss that opportunity to explain that the active transportation investments, they're not just about livability, although that's important. They're not just about global warming, although that's important. They're not just about safety, although that's very important. they're also economic investments. Aye.
Fish.
Well, after a speech like that, I have enough sense just to say congratulations, Commissioner, and well said. And thank you for the way you crafted this proposal, the way you've consulted with your colleagues, and then the excellent presentation today. And I'm going to vote that as the early contender for your finest speech to date as a member of this council.
Aw, thank you, Commissioner.
Aye.
Fritz.
The mayor had to step out. I'm pretty sure he's supportive of this, too. And I appreciate, Commissioner Novick, your work on this. Congratulations on a job well done. These are federal funds coming through Metro. It's nice to see some of our tax dollars returning to Portland. Thank you to staff for all of your work on this project. And to the taxpayers of Portland and your local property taxes and income taxes and business taxes that are helping to fund the staff work that will be necessary to go into these projects. Still a significant investment of local dollars, excuse me, at $2 million plus. It's very clear that we are being asked to choose between projects which we care about, and some can get funded and some cannot. I particularly appreciated Commissioner Fish's passionate speech on the Gateway Green project and the underpass from 205. Just proving that the bureaus may be a reassigned, but our passions are not, and that I appreciate continuing to collaborate with you as the new Parks Commissioner to work on projects that got started under your leadership. The North Portland Greenway is also a great project that we will continue to partner with transportation on through the Bureau, through Portland Parks and Recreation. I think Sullivan's Gulch has some issues at the city center part of it with the rail alignment and some work, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't get started on the outer parts that could be done and doing pieces at a time. Something that I've learned over my 20 years in Southwest Portland is if we had been doing the infill development of sidewalks one house at a time, we would now have a lot more connected sidewalks. But we sometimes wait until we can do the whole enchilada, and that doesn't always work out as well. So I appreciate this. This takes us a big step forward and does address some significant safety problems in parts of the city that really need them. Thank you to the citizen advocates who worked on the project and for those who were able to testify today. Aye. We will now move to 888 and 889. Please read them together.
Mm-hmm. 888. Vacate a portion of Southwest Fairview Boulevard at Southwest Chaplin Drive, subject to certain conditions and reservations. 889, authorize the director of the Bureau of Transportation to issue a quitclaim deed for a portion of Southwest Fairview Boulevard at Southwest Chaplin Drive.
Let me give just a brief introduction, some of the basic facts. In early 2011, the CDA identified a portion of a retaining wall on the northwesterly side of Southwest Fairview Boulevard as needing to be replaced due to the unstable slope which the wall at one time was supporting. The city and the adjacent property owner entered into a public-private partnership in which the property owner agreed to replace the entire failing wall with a new engineered structure with the understanding that the property owners then take ownership and maintain the wall. In exchange, the city would agree to initiate a street vacation for a portion of Southwest Fairview Boulevard in order for the property owners to consolidate their property, to cover the cost for the processing of the vacation, and to replace the adjoining sidewalk, which is severely damaged by involvement of the wall and the slope. And Carl, do you want to take it away and provide some more details?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yeah, I'm Carl Arruda. I'm a right-of-way agent with the Bureau of Transportation. And Commissioner Novick, you did a great job explaining the street vacation project. And I guess that sort of brings us to the sort of the second step of our process, which is Ordinance 889 on the agenda. Because initial research by Multnomah County informed us that the area to be vacated along Fairview would revert to the adjacent property owners, which is what everyone was expecting. But then later in the street vacation process, additional research by the county showed that the area to be vacated had a number of years ago been acquired by the city in fee title, and therefore the land, if it was vacated, would revert back to the city's ownership. And so this became an issue since PBOT did not want to have ownership of the wall or the property after the new wall was constructed and the responsibility to maintain it. And due to the expense of the wall's replacement by the adjacent owners, it's Peabody's position that the additional contribution to the project of transferring the property through the quitclaim is reasonable. And so if there are any other questions
or you've received no objections to this, correct?
No, we haven't. Yeah, we had notified.
I see that the documentation
right,
shows.
The normal notifications.
A model of community notification, but there seems to be no objections.
Other questions? Does anybody want to testify on this item?
Yes, we have two people signed up. They may have left, Mark Hoffhines and Joe Walsh.
Okay. Does anybody else want to testify? And thank you very much. These two move to second reading. Item 890, please.
Revise pay and park and non-pay private parking facilities regulations.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Madam President. And I've invited Kathleen Butler and her team to come forward, and I have some brief opening remarks. When you live in a city and you come downtown to your favorite restaurant, theater, or to shop, or to visit friends or a loved one, you expect to pay for parking. And we all know what a pay-to-park lot looks like and what parking meters on a city street look like, except when you don't. Earlier this year, my office received complaints from people who were confused and upset about tickets they received for parking on the street at Southwest Hall and Southwest Moody. I have to confess, I also got a ticket at the same location and decided to do a little research. As it turns out, there is a private parking facility in this South Waterfront neighborhood that to a casual observer may look like an ordinary street with parking meters. But the rules and rates and penalties are different. As we looked deeper into this situation, we learned that the city authorizes operators of private streets and private parking lots to issue parking tickets. And the city also has the authority to regulate these same operators, including making changes in order to protect the public interest. Changes might include more lighting or more and larger signs to ensure that Portlanders and visitors can recognize that it is a private parking situation where the rules may be different than what they were expecting and may even be different from the adjacent street. My team and I work with the Revenue Bureau, which administers this program, and the city attorney to clarify the city's existing authority and existing practice by making our code language more explicit. Code changes, proposed changes before you, make clear to the public and to the operators of these private parking facilities that the city can require reasonable changes to ensure that private parking facilities are easily recognizable to the public and operated fairly. Now, to the credit of the operator of the Southwest Hall and Moody Private Street, they've already made improvements that we've suggested, including bigger signs, and here's the kicker, lit signs, so that you can actually read them at night. In addition to clarifying our existing authority to require a range of changes from operators, the proposal before you, the proposed changes to our code, also includes new reporting requirements and local contact information for operators so that the city can more easily monitor ticketing practices and how complaints are being handled. Over the next 6 months, staff will monitor ticket data and report back to me on complaint patterns and how they are handled. And that may lead to further proposals in the future coming back to you. Nobody likes to get a ticket, but when the rules are clear and fairly applied, consumers' rights are protected. As I introduce Kathleen Butler, I'd like to thank Kathleen and Ann Holm with the Revenue Bureau for doing a terrific job on this, including robust community outreach. I want to thank Glenn Full of Love, one of my favorite names, with the city attorney's office for his solid work. I'd also like to thank Aja Blair and Hannah Kuhn on my staff who've been working diligently on this issue. And finally, I think it's appropriate to give a shout out to K2's On Your Side for originally shining a light on this unique problem. Kathleen, welcome, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, Commissioners. Kathleen Butler, Regulatory Division Manager at the Revenue Bureau. Ann
Holm, Revenue Bureau.
I also just want to mention Thomas Lynn. I'm the Director of the Revenue Bureau, had planned to be here today, and he asked me to apologize to you that he could not make it. As Commissioner Fish has pointed out, there is a lot down on Southwest Holland Moody that is what's known as a private street. There are quite a few private streets in the city of Portland, but very few of them have